listening
to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
What's up, bitches? Woo. Welcome back to another episode of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I am your Fun Uncle Dude, joined by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Yay, 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 yay.
And your Fun Uncle Cooney.
Woo, woo.
Back in the house.
Double woo, woo.
Before we get started, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our good friends at Las Vegas Lighting. Las Vegas Lighting is one of the leading lighting service companies in the Las Vegas Valley, providing an amazing selection of lighting products for their customers. They are a local, minority-owned and operated business that has proudly served their customers since 2010. They are available for both residential and commercial customers and have products available for any budget and project. No project is too big or small for their lighting specialists. They have an endless selection of lighting products, and their contractors will do the tough work of installing the lighting where needed. Reach out to Las Vegas Lighting to get the lighting product and service that you need. Head over to lv-lighting.com or give them a call at 702-910-8645. Shout out to them.
So good at that.
I know.
So what are we going to do today?
Brian, did you watch the fucking dunk contest yesterday?
No, I didn't watch the dunk contest.
It was so fucking bad.
You know what we did right after?
Before you started, I want to wish a happy birthday to my little baby niece, Willow.
I knew he came over a little faded. He came back from a party.
Happy birthday, Willow.
Party. What up, Willow? I see you, girl. Coming up on that three.
So, but no, the dunk contest, no, I didn't.
It was so fucking whack.
Was it?
We watched, the last, two rounds. And
the format's a little clunky.
Yeah.
It's like, remember back in the day, you either missed your shit and got a 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You missed once, right. And they're like, all right, sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Now they, try every...
You got three attempts.
You have to so was it all NBA attempt. Players, or did they have...
Yeah.
Because have you ever seen that dude, Jordan?
Guy?
The white dude with, the crazy...
Yeah.
He does that scorpion dunk where he reaches around the back. It's fucking bananas.
Yeah, Jordan Kilgannon.
Yeah, we were talking about him. I was like, this guy fucking destroys all those
so it
dudes.
Was just NBA. So, yeah. So there was no, unique...
It was nothing unique.
Trotters.
Everybody does
a lot of missed attempts.
Somebody holds the ball up, or they dunk over somebody, or it's a pass.
See, that's what we're missing.
Nothing original.
You could feel the energy. You could feel the players being we're not doing this that good. Do you
not
know what I mean?
That,
it felt like a vibe.
The fucking crowd was quiet. You could tell they were just somebody fucking make something.
Do something.
You need to get
fun.
Some and one. Yeah, do something.
Dude,
that's what we're missing. And one, is there anything outside of the NBA? Remember when we were kids?
YouTube, Tristan, what was his name?
But
Tristan
but
Jast,
Tristan Jast, yeah.
All those guys, the
there's
professors,
very
they
few,
all
like
YouTube
everybody,
shit.
Like there's very, like you would think with YouTube there'd be a lot more outlandish basketball players than there was because how did and one get their shit out there like that? Back
it was
then?
Just mixtape shit, remember?
Right? Yeah. But then now, I mean, I guess you can compare it to Jackass, right? Because you would think that there would be a lot of weird, crazy people doing white boys.
Well,
doing
there fucking
shit.
Are. We're just not dialed into it. I bet you there's a bunch of crazy ass fucking basketball. Tristan Jett, that's the one kid that I just said because he reminds me of new age, modern platform and one. Instead of putting together mixtapes of fucking hot sauce and then distributing them out, he has his own YouTube. He has a crew. They go traveling. They play street games.
Yeah.
And he's pretty honest from what I've seen. I went on a nice little COVID fucking rant with him. Not rant, was it just a run? You know what I mean? I watched an hour and a half of that fucking kid straight. He's super honest, seems super cool, dreadfully talented. I was okay, so this is what that looks like now.
Do you think it would help the NBA to, I guess, for All-Star Weekend at least, mash the two, imagine if back in the day they had and one players against the NBA.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. As a fan, you're great fucking idea. As a business, if you're the NBA,
you want these kids coming in and smoking
you.
You
don't want that.
Yeah.
You do not want that.
Well, I mean, the whole point of the All-Star thing, I really think the whole theme was always about having these motherfuckers like seeing the elite play. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like watching the best of the best play. And so, yeah, I get what you mean, but I don't know. And you might find out that all your and one heroes ain't shit in real life. You know what I mean? Like, that's a real life thing too. Yeah. Remember Skip to my okay, okay, in the well, NBA.
Maybe not an all-star game against each other, but just little one-on-one competitions where it really doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Yeah,
it's not
but
like
it does because it's what these guys do for money. And they're supposed to be the best on the planet, so it's like it does matter.
Yeah, so
and these guys don't get to that level of anything without being ultra competitive.
Okay, but then that brings a conspiracy theory in. Why are these people not signed? Why are they not in the NBA if they're that good?
Fundamentals, teamwork. Yeah. They might not fit within a program very well. They have a different style of playing. They don't
think some about
people
it.
Have Great to point. Have the bandwidth good for point. That kind
think
of
thing. Think about point. It. Like the and one teams were never like great. It was always like a player.
Yeah, it was two team. Players.
You know, Hot Sauce, fucking the professor, you know.
Right.
Like, the big old lanky monster.
They would run the court for their team.
I would like to see, and I think what the NBA could do is to help fill in, like, the festivities surrounding All-Star Weekend, give them a showcase. Give them a three-point
that
contest.
That would be sick.
Give them a dunk contest.
If it was like A1 sponsored by the NBA or something like that?
Yeah. You know, and that way, like, you know,
cool.
Whoever wins.
I feel like they should be doing that on their own, like how indie companies rally around like a WrestleMania weekend.
Right.
Like when there's an all-star weekend, why don't all the B clubs and all the little summer leagues, Amen. Why don't they put together like a thing around it? And
that's
be like,
in the same
our
area.
Fucking thing. Here's our dunk contest. Because then they could, because with the internet and how coverage is like, so you know, you don't need like a legacy outlet. You know, all you need is a YouTube and a fucking phone. Mm-hmm. Like, you may. What if you do show up All-Star Weekend and your little crew puts together
you're
that fucking dunk
right
contest
outside the court.
That's destroyed it, and everyone's like, dude, fuck the regular shit, dude.
I'm going to go watch the
Doug,
this
did
now.
You see the fucking blah, blah, blahs? How right. sick that was? Like, and then now you're on the map. Now you're a thing. Mm. That shit is super
that's
fun.
A great
that's
idea.
What I mean, that's just an idea. I don't think the NBA is ever going to fucking pull
but
a Vince
but
and
but
Paul.
But,
you know
but, they,
I mean?
But they don't have anything on that. Like, imagine if, okay, because, like, you compared it to wrestling, so if WrestleMania came down, they would just buy a little arena and put on a show. So if you got the NBA All-Star game coming, why does And1 or one of these companies just not
and first of all, And1 doesn't
buy a
exist
court? Well, I'm just saying that as a reference. Just rent out a court,
you know, what is
for
a
weekend
thing?
And just record it during the All-Star weekend and promote it all the whole All-Star weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's millions, there's
Here's
thousands
why.
Of people.
Here's why. Coming. Because they're not the NBA, so they don't have NBA money. And because people are in, like, but whatever, because people are in whatever city they're in, whatever building they want to rent out for their showcase is going to cost more than it normally would.
Right, because Probably. Of the...
They would need.
It's like an Uber at the.
They would need to have, like Brandon just brought up, like Ice Cube's, what's it called, the Big Three?
Yeah, 3-on-3.
So it would need, you know, they would need like Ice Cube money or somebody like to fit the bill for them, you know, or like a P, you know, get like, you know, see if somebody can
maybe even get some older stars too that are retired and do some of the competitions.
That
would be awesome.
Yeah, that's basically what the Big Three is.
And do it All-Star Weekend and compete.
Well, yeah, to me it's like it's the same opportunity as like when they throw big giant conventions for fucking for porn or tech or you know what I mean. It's like you want to be at these giant. Get together is these giant conventions
right.
so you can get that. I mean, how many Shark Tank episodes have we seen where I just kicked ass every year at the convention? You know what I mean? Like, that's what they
did.
Yeah,
the conventions.
They did their little shop at the fucking farmer's market, and they went
Got
to
the
all the conventions and fucking grew their business, mm-hmm. man. There's differences, obviously, but it's a similar model. You know what I mean? When you're just talking about that platform of All-Star Weekend. We always talk about All-Star Weekend fucking coming to Vegas and Vegas being never again, bitches. We'll never let you try this again.
It is the worst idea to come to Vegas because anywhere you go is already out of hand.
Yeah, it was
Well, I mean,
rough.
The fucking Pro Bowl was just out here and Alvin Kamara got fucking arrested for beating somebody up.
Bro.
I was wondering.
Oh, man.
Stomp the fuck out of somebody.
Can we please get name in for the Raiders players that live here?
I mean, you know? People have tried to act like they're like, listen, it's not going to make a difference if blah, 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 blah. And it's not. You can be a prick anywhere on the planet. But yeah. this town just gives just you brings it it's out, open yeah. avenues. Like, it just gives you more and more opportunity to be a slimy shit. Like, you know,
right?
It like everybody is. But
it makes
like,
you it makes you want to speed and crash into the back of somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I fuck mean, you. That was mean. That was mean. Oh. That was so mean, dude.
Rest I mean, in peace to the poor woman and yes, her fucking rest, dog.
Rest in rest. Yeah, that was sad.
That's so gnarly. rich people going ham.
Speaking of local sports teams, I have a couple local things that I would like to rant about. First of all, the fucking drivers out here are terrible.
Suck.
I don't.
And they complain about California.
Yeah, no, like people like Nevada drivers don't know how to fucking drive.
Fuck no.
I don't know what it is about people out here in the Vegas Valley. If there's a slight curve in the
everyone
road,
slows down.
Oh my god.
Halt. Yeah.
Oh bro. My fucking god. I take Gibson to go to work. Right, so between Warm Springs and Sunset, I take Gibson, and it's a pretty windy road. You would think it was like Mulholland. Like a blizzard.
Yeah,
bro. People slow down to like 10 fucking miles an hour, and it's just a slight fucking this. Curve.
Dude, the fucking strip is so tiny compared to the beach, and there's just as many people walking across the streets at a beach as there is on a strip. But for some reason, the strip is just fucking backed up for shit, and you can't move.
Yo, that Vegas shit. I remember
these fucking drivers in Vegas suck.
It's. I remember hearing when I was a kid, Vegas people always bitch about California drivers. I learned how to drive in Las Vegas. I moved to California as an adult and lived out there for a decade and drove for a good portion of that. And when I came back and started driving here, I was like, you know what? It's not that fucking California drivers are bad. They're just so much fucking better than Las Vegas drivers that they, like, don't know it. Do you understand? Like,
yeah.
California, you know what I love about California? There's, like, there's an they're bad, but they're, like, aggressive. I think Bill Burr said something like that where he's like,
yeah.
Listen, they pull up. You get two clicks of their signal.
Yeah.
You get their blinker, and then they go. And if you want to have a bad day, run into them. If you want to go along your day, slow the fuck down. I love that, dude. And the whole, you know what I think about I love about California, about on-ramps and merging? There's like this unspoken thing that everybody does is you go, I go, you go, I go. And every now and then yeah, someone will fuck that up. They'll fuck that up, and you'll be like, what a dick. Out here, the you go, I go doesn't even exist.
It doesn't apply, no.
You see people like it's six at a time try to like bolster into this little space. You're like, what are you fucking
morons doing,
bro?
You got a green light for 2 minutes and they're still walking like they
And then the times that they decide to go fast, it's like you're doing all this work going in and out of this little fucking, you know, area. And then we all get to stop at the same red light. I see this guy almost cause four crashes. He gets to the red light and 2 minutes later... There I am, right behind you, at the same red light, you fucking crazy man. Like, what are you fucking doing? You're not getting anywhere any quicker. Those are the three big ones that I always saw. I was just like, who the fuck, why? Why is it like that out here? The curves, that's a real thing. Anytime there's a minor curve in a road, people slow down to nothing. It's fucking crazy.
An accident. It's like an accident.
The merging is made out of fucking just the most selfish pricks ever. And then they'll put on their blinker with room for 5 minutes before they make a move. It's like, my dog, you're good.
Yeah.
Go. Like, California's like, click, click, zoop. Like, he's in.
Yep.
He warned you. He put on the blinker for this very reason. Like, I like that. So that was my breakdown because I always heard California drivers are bad when I lived out here when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Then I did California driving. Then I came out here like, and I was like, no.
California drivers.
They're just really, really good at driving and you fuck.
There's a reason they call it the California stop. You know what I'm saying?
They're like, about that life.
They know what the fuck
and
is
And if
up.
You've ever had to maneuver around a Southern California like neighborhood or park at your homie's house or like, yo, the 16-year-old girls that drive around the valley every day are better than anybody alive in Las Vegas right now. Like, those kids, the way they have to drive through those tiny ass little, they look like one-way streets.
Yeah.
And dude, they're not
one-way
streets.
And there's people parked on the person's
people
side.
Right. On the fucking thing,
and
dude.
To park. Dude, there's bro. No reverse park. There's no parallel parking in Vegas at all.
Everything's so wide
that's all you do.
And
you,
easy.
You can't make states. A fucking left turn anywhere.
No.
Except a left turn fucking lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Like, I don't want to have to make a fucking U-turn. Just make it so I can turn left in
Vegas
there. That's where I'm going.
Sucks, dude. I fucking hate this shit out here. Bro.
Traffic-wise,
I mean, New York's
it's
probably worse, but I guarantee you those drivers are way better than they are out here.
I would,
you
never,
know what I mean? Like what you were saying, like these drivers out here suck, but we have it so much easier, and you would think it would be better.
Maybe well, it is easier.
It is. That's and the, that's why yeah. we suck.
Parking around here, dude. Every time we go back to the valley to visit family or anything, 5 minutes into driving around, I'm like, I fucking hate it here. Like, why? In my mind, I'm like, how did I do this every day?
There's no reason to be traffic on a 15.
I parked around everywhere. I did all this shit. Like, why did like this was my life was like this? Parking fucking a mile and a half. Remember that? You have to park a in mile away right? from you. Yeah, of course. Out here, this shit is easy. Yeah.
It's like going to Jovie's and you're like, fuck, I got to park in the next neighborhood.
Bro, I remember when I first started seeing like Liz seriously and seeing like family and shit. And we were like driving around or we weren't together. I called her and I said, did you get to your sister's? And she was like, no, I went over there and there was nowhere to park. So I left. And I was like, what a bitch. Like, I thought that was so fucked up. Because from here, it's like, what do we mean nowhere to park? I was like, you're so fucked up. You don't
get it.
I was like, damn, you don't love your sister? Like, hold on, dude. Like, I couldn't imagine calling Lindsay. That's Lindsay awesome. Being like, are you here yet? And I was like, I couldn't find a place to park, so I left. Like, what a fucking dickhead. Yeah, but then I went to Jovie's apartment, and there was nowhere to park. And where we ended up parking was legit half a mile. A legit half a mile from there, and I was like, okay, I see why. If you're not in the right mood, you're like, I'm not fucking doing this, dude. I'm fucking going home right now. Yeah, dude, fuck California traffic, love California
drivers.
But they're
way better drivers, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Vegas.
Yeah.
And we always complain about Cali drivers.
I think that's just ignorance of people not doing California. If you live out here, well, I mean, I guess you got to know their story, but shitting on California drive. I think it's because all the aggressive shit I'm talking about comes from a California plate. And so Vegas people are just like, see?
Yeah.
That's how I am with Audis. Every time it's I like, see a young man in an Audi, I'm like, oh, he's going to drive like a prick. And I'm almost always right. I'm talking to you, Jesse. No, my sister.
Audi was like my second car, too. So she's kind of pretty
bro,
good.
Bro, and you drive like a super asshole, bro. Brian thinks everyone can read his fucking mind. He thinks just looking at the road is optional.
You knew I had to change lanes.
Yeah, yeah. For real, man.
I always put my blinker on, though.
Man. But
yeah, you already know how shitty
you're the fucking gnarliest. Well, it's just like, you're paying attention, right?
I get it, yeah.
It's like someone playing really, really, really good basketball, and you're like, I wonder how hard he's trying to make it look this good.
Right.
But like, just lower level, same, beautiful. Or like, I look at him, and he's on his fucking phone. Like, not like, not glancing at it. Like, on his fucking phone.
Way the fuck back.
Yeah, like try, yeah. Like fucking Skilo in his super fucking low. Dream video.
I don't even think I have a hand on the wheel.
Yeah, no hand on the wheel. Scoot back like it's a fucking knee. Long Beach fucking gangster in 92.
Right.
The fucking guy, you just look over to his little station. You know when you're sitting shoddy and you look over at the driver's station. I'm just like, we're for sure fucking dying today, dog. Like, does he even know what's happening right now?
Yeah, I'm horrible.
Did you see this video? I'm like, you're looking at videos right now? You're not even like texting someone real quick. It's not even like you're searching for a fucking...
Why are you on Facebook on driving, motherfucker?
Look at Brian's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Driving on the highway.
Fucking dog, I'm not joking. Like, that has happened. I was like, have you seen this one? Like, whoa, bro. What are you doing, man? I thought you were texting your fucking mom or like something worth dying for.
You would, right? think, you would think that I'm driving being recorded for a movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no bullshit. Or if they recorded you in a movie, people watching the movie would be like, people don't drive like that. These movies are such bullshit.
I know, I do.
I can like, just, nah, I, man, I know
can,
a guy.
I can just imagine like the after school fucking special movie with fucking Brian like dead in the fucking car and there's fucking Gangnam Style on his fucking iPhone.
Fucking... dying over the YouTube, bro. Oh, that just made my head go to all those sad. Remember there was that summer of all those kids fucking live streaming their deaths?
Oh, yeah.
Just
me and fucking Brandon saw this one where this chick, like, she was in the car with her sister.
Sad as fuck, man. They're drinking.
And it's just live. They're doing it live.
Oh, they're live drinking. Streaming. They're driving fucking fast. They're obviously hammered, and they're singing songs and, like, rapping and shit together.
So it's not like it was recorded and then, like, from it. It was live, so everybody saw it.
So it's a sad fucking story because they ended up fucking crashing. The sister that's streaming gets out, doesn't stop streaming, and, like, goes over to her sister who's, like, lying there, not fucking good, bro. Was she screaming about that's her brain?
It was fucked up, man. Do you guys think it's because of the streaming that they're recording it? Or do you think it's just because, like...
What do you mean? Do you think they crashed because they were paying attention to the stream?
Both.
I don't know. Probably not. I hope not. I mean, it probably had something to do with it because they were focused on partying. You know what I mean? But how many other kids have gone out the same way? You know what I mean? Just like having too much fun in the car, bro, and it flipped. Dude.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
We've been in similar shit. And we just got out lucky. Yeah. We've been very fortunate.
I think none of us died. I think it was just a situation where they were just going too fast and like flipped
overcorrected.
Like one little fucking jerk movement, and like you're fishtailing.
And that's what happened with them.
Yeah,
I that's what I think.
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah, I didn't get any like official report after.
But yeah, this chick doesn't stop streaming. She's got her phone up. She's talking. You know, she's like holding her fucking
sister's dead. My sister's dead. I was talking about her brains out of her head.
Yeah. No,
that's her brain. Oh my god. I was like, oh man.
And she was streaming this live before she crashed.
And and she's just like what? Like so fucking before drunk and full of herself.
Yeah, before the crash.
And never the live never cut off.
No.
So she crashed, killed her fucking sister, and still just recorded after?
Yep.
Are you
That's
fucking
the part,
kidding?
Yeah. The details about the crash and how I don't know much about that. The point of this story that fucks with me is that the mental space where it's like, put down your phone.
Call 911.
Why the fuck are you fucking live streaming this crazy thing that just happened to you?
Talking about, I'm going to hold it down.
Like, oh yeah, that bitch. Was the saddest part. Talking about like, bye, don't worry, I'm a whole. I was like, oh, she's shit faced. And the craziest thing
I've
ever
told
has happened to her.
Four fucking cars because of my fucking cell phone. People, get off your fucking cell phone. Seriously. Straight up, no.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I've totaled four fucking cars. They've all been silver, so I blame it because it's the color of the damn car.
I'm never
getting a silver car again.
That's definitely the silver fault.
But straight up.
Right?
Your phone is worse. I swear to God, communicating and driving is worse than drunk driving.
It's one of my favorite. It was one of the mortuaries, either in the valley or here, where it's like Palm Mortuary has a fucking billboard that says, put the phone down, we can wait. I love that. Straight it's like, up. Yeah, we're good, man. Everybody goes. You don't have to go like a fucking clown, though. Like, ugh, it's so sad. Yeah, seeing her, like, detachment, but still that part of her. Having to have it live streamed being like a central part of her mind during that tragedy is like, damn, that's where we're at. It's like back in the day, I remember something happened where like a Bill Nye type character, it might even have been Bill Nye, where he like collapsed on stage and someone noted that it was on like Twitter and live streamed for like 22 minutes before someone called the cops.
What?
They do all the cell phone stuff, and it's like, so hold on. Yeah. The 911 call for this man's life happened at 8:22, but there's tweets and live stream video of this at 7:58. Like, where the fuck did that half hour? So everybody had the presence of mind to break out their phone to tweet it or live stream
it, but not call.
But
the
no one
cops.
Wanted. And then it goes back. It goes back to the other story you grew up hearing about that chicken, like fucking Brooklyn or something, the Bronx lady. That fucking got killed outside and like 14 people heard it and didn't do shit about it. It's like a famous story.
Yeah.
She's like screaming bloody, literally bloody murder and fucking no one did anything about it. It's like this, nothing's different, bro. Everybody still sucks. Nothing's different except now there's platforms where
we
can see
really
it live.
You know what's really sad too? I said this before. I just want to, man, and this is just coming from my, because I bleed silver and black, man. Henry Ruggs, man, if you watch that video, he could have got up and probably maybe saved her. I'm not going to say that it's his fault that she died.
Oh, it's totally his fault that she
died. Definitely his fault.
Well, I mean, but he was sitting there crying while the shit was on fire. If
use those athletic abilities
and get the bitch out of the fucking car and don't cry about you losing your life before it's lost. I think.
Well, he was drunk.
Yeah, he was shitty. It's the same. It's the same fucking weird state of mind that the poor girl we just mentioned. Like she's shit faced. She's sitting there with her fucking best friend slash sister, with her fucking brain inside out in her lap. It's like you want that person to act like the best way. You think they're in tune with the supreme mode of being? Like, what's the best way to be right now to get this situation fixed? They're fucked up right now, bro. There's only a couple like elite-minded people that are born with those kind of instincts and those attributes, you know, fucking high-end soldiers or medical personnel, like those kind of folks. Like, there's some people that can do that, Most people can't, especially when you're fucking hammered. You know what I mean? Like, it's a mess, bro. That was a sad fuck. There's that video. What was the other fucking fucked up video? That one Facebook Live where he got all, this dude was all bummed out about his girl leaving, and he walked up on that old man. It was like Easter morning.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you know, I don't know her name, but he was like, you know Natasha? And the old man was like, what? And he's like, Natasha. You know Natasha? And then he was like, I don't know you. Well, you dead because of her. Bam! And just...
What?
Cracked him in his head, bro.
He did that to like four people.
He did a couple
of those. Was it like 2 or 3 years ago where like he walked out to an old black man and just shot him in the heart? When he like there was an old black man.
It was definitely an older black dude.
And he was carrying like groceries. And then when he pointed the gun at him, like he pulled his groceries scared, up and tried to block it.
Yeah, that's what the family was about fired up because they're like, "Yo, man, we saw he was scared." You know what I mean? Like you saw that he was.
And then you saw the blood, like when like just the, a quick it, just, thing. It just went. Poof, the blood just spilled out.
Once I knew what was about to happen, I wasn't really trying to breathe in any of the details because dude was like, "Bro," and he just flipped us. You know, we're sitting on the couch and he was like, "Oh shit!" And then just.
But it was the dude that went on like a random murder spree just for live, right? Yeah, I think that was it was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right? That guy.
It was longer. That was ago crazy. Than it was crazy. It was 5 or 6. Okay,
so it was the same guy. That was crazy. That one flipped me out, dude. There's another one too where the cops like, they fucked me up. That one, I forget the dude's name, but it was a black dude where they cornered him, and they kind of had him set up like on the bumper of a car, and then they shot him a couple times, and then when they shot him, you could see the blood on the bumper of the car. It was like a bigger black dude. It was one of those. Big stories.
I don't remember any of that.
It was one. It was a name that never gets mentioned. It's not like an Eric Gardner or any one of those situations. But it was one of those ones that you know was in a conversation, and that freaked me the fuck out when I saw it because I was like, okay, that's legit.
That's
like that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the same with like the Philando Castile in Minnesota, where like he gets pulled over with his kid in the back seat. And like he tells the cop, like, "Yeah, I have a concealed carry license. There's a weapon in the fucking car." And then gets fucking shot in front of his fucking daughter.
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of these.
There's too much to go over about.
On a lighter note,
opinion on that.
On a lighter note,
yeah. So stop everybody live streaming all the fucking horrible shit in the world,
right? Please,
this is not cool.
On a lighter note, my second local rant is about the local rock stations out here. And how they play way too much fucking Creed.
What do you think? Like
way too much. Way too much. Three Doors Down. Way too much fucking Creed Nickelback. Is
not bad.
I love Three Doors
Down. Dude, way too much Nickelback.
Go listen to a Creed's greatest hits and tell me that every one of those songs aren't.
There's
one.
There's one Creed song that I like. I don't even know the name of it. Like when it comes on, it's the only one I'll let play.
but Creed is not as bad as people say. But if it's a radio station playing Creed.
But, for whatever fucking reason, the local rock stations out here have the biggest fucking hard-on for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, that's because they're coming out here.
No, dude, I'm talking since I've been here.
I don't remember any of that.
Like,
I don't listen to the
just today.
Radio,
just today, it was like Chili Peppers, right? And it's like, I lived most of my life in California. Like, I've heard Chili Peppers like a billion times. So I changed the station. Fucking Chili Peppers. It's like, are you fucking serious? That and AC/DC, like I'm just sick of.
AC/DC and Chili Peppers do get played on regular. I hear like 96.3, 97.2 or whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, it's so bad. Like you know.
What do you got the radio on?
That's funny because my dad, he just got a new car and I drive with him sometimes and he was talking about like, because, you know, when you get a new car, you get XM radio for 3 months free or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. He's complaining. He's just like, man, I love XM. I love.
My dad did too.
And then it gets cut off. And then my dad was like, man, this shit sucks. Like, because, like, you know, like, I don't, like, what I'm driving my dad.
Well, because they have, like, specialty fucking stations on there. My dad, the shit he showed me on there was a couple on there. Like, The Vault was, like, this, like, I think it was called The Vault. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard of The Vault.
There was a couple, like, old rock ones where he was like, Brandon, because he was always big on that. He always said, you know. Like, you kids grow up and you think the Doors made two songs and you don't know what order they came out in. You know what I mean? It's like, they have whole records full of shit that you'll never know about because unless you have the records, you're not going to hear them because they're not on the radio. Right. And then XM Radio came out, and he was like, these guys are putting on the other stuff that actual fans really enjoyed that didn't make it on the, you know, the Billboard list and shit.
Yeah, and why is XM so much? It's like, what is it, like $40 a month?
Because they sign motherfuckers for millions of dollars all the time, and they need to get that money.
Spotify's $9. iTunes is $9.
Spotify costs money?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can do the free one with
but
ads.
It's not like a whole
station. Is it the same thing as like a YouTube music? Like that sort of thing?
Yeah, but not as good.
And you know, you don't want to get into conspiracy shit if you want to real quick, do you or not?
Sure.
About radio?
What the fuck is Howard Stern doing talking about fucking all this bullshit? Like, okay. You have podcasts coming. How is Howard Stern not backing Joe fucking Rogan right now? Like, how is he not in the exact same position he was when he got signed to XM?
Not at all.
No.
No?
No.
You,
no. Bro, Howard Stern dude, is Howard so Stern far has said removed.
20 times shit.
Bro, Howard Stern, it has he's in like the upper echelon of fucking media for the last like fucking 30 years.
So why is he not backing Rogan?
Because that's how the class rule shit works, bro. The old guy is always going to fucking keep up with the existing shit. Do you agree with that? I listened to Joe Rogan enough to not be mad at what he's doing. It's like we said before on the thread. It's like his Planet of the Apes shit is way worse than the fucking all the N-word stuff he does because the N-word stuff was contextual. Should a white dude ever use those words? I grew up with a lot of black fools, and they all told me, wink, wink, even your white boyfriends who think it's okay because they're all homies, it's not okay. I'm talking about what, like, my
point in case.
My
what
point
else
is,
do you have against Rogan besides what they just put out?
Well, I don't fucking. That's
do you know what I'm saying?
I have a different listenership to Joe Rogan than I'm sure Howard Stern hasn't listened to more than 2 fucking seconds. The most Howard Stern's heard of Joe Rogan is the fucking compilation that they
of
put
of him
together.
Saying the N-word, right?
Yeah, bro, guaranteed.
Exactly. So and he's exactly. against it, but he's against it, and he doesn't know anything Rogan's doing because this is all that he's presented, and it's sort of just like, what
how
the
do
fuck?
You think all this works, dog?
That's
how
what
much
I'm
here. Okay, I was so, gonna do this here. There's young people in the fucking world that I talk to that are family, right? And they're very, very, very opinionated over fucking like the Trump administration and everything they did, right. Posting stuff, texting stuff, asking questions. Joe's been in here for a little over a year, right? Well, and I asked all the young people. I said, "You guys are real quiet. You guys don't have any." So because you guys don't criticize and you're not, you know, doing all the work that you used to do when it came to the Trump administration, is that to tell me that you're okay, that you think everybody's doing a good job, da 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 da? Because the last president, every fucking day you were tweeting something or posting something. Now you don't say shit. So why is it? Is it because Joe and Kamala are killing it and you're super happy with everything they've done? Or is it because you don't fucking know any better and because you were told that the fucking Trump's a piece of shit, right. You heard exactly. The sound bites, you heard the pussy grabbing, you heard the fucking good side, good people on both sides, like, or is
and
it that
not
mechanism?
To mention that all of a
it's
sudden
obvious.
Now this Russian conspiracy is bullshit.
Everyone
Hillary
already fucking
it.
Knew all that. See, that's the fucking,
everybody
that,
knew
that's
that,
a
right?
super weird part, because I was like, hold on, it's just, people are just now grabbing onto the idea that that's bullshit, because I thought that was already pretty,
I
like,
thought we all, everybody knew that from the beginning.
But that's my point is, it depends on what kind of, like, media that you're kind of, like, digesting. Right. And so when you say, how does Howard Stern not agree with Rogan, he was a hotshot up-and-comer who did fucking, you know, psycho shit and throwing baloney on the bitch's ass and fucking talking about pussy and asking celebrities crazy shit. Like, you were a fringe guy. You're not going to fucking be on the same.
Exactly.
No, because of everything I just said. One, because he probably hasn't been introduced to anything Joe Rogan's ever
done.
But
do you agree with his stance in it?
Who's?
Howard? Do you think
No, because I already said, I listen to fucking Joe Rogan. I don't find him to be racist at fucking all. And first of all, to make that kind of decision about someone that you don't actively do life with is fucking crazy to me. It's crazy to me. Like,
I don't think Howard Stern actually came out and said anything. But for him to not...
then what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, what are we just talking about? Because
he's like the head. So what I'm saying is, like,
is he?
He was the first one to get the $200 million for XM. Yeah. So like he was like the beginning of the XM radio. He was the beginning, just like how Joe Rogan was meant to be the beginning of Spotify to start their new thing.
Well, Spotify was already fucking huge,
right? But they're still not profiting. yet.
Well, there's an analogy there.
Spotify's been the number one fucking music service for a while.
They're not profiting.
Yeah, but that kind of shit, dude, a lot of people aren't. It's some tricky shit, dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you say, like, oh, they're not profitable, it's like, well, dude, careful with that.
Yeah, that's hard. I can't.
But I get what you mean, where you're saying real, fucking Sirius or XM or whatever grabbed Howard Stern to kind of bolster their little situation to put a big cornerstone there. Spotify definitely did that with Joe, or they wouldn't have given him $100 million to come on their shit exclusive. That's definitely what they wanted to do with him.
Right, but I mean, if you're somebody that has a stature of Howard Stern, how do you not see what's going on? Like, even if that's
I feel like I've explained it twice.
Yeah. So moving on. Moving on. What I want to do right now is I want to play this this TikTok that I saw about Joe Rogan and how like people's misconception that he's like some fucking far right, you know, podcast fucking host.
I love that.
Those people are so misinformed, and I found the perfect TikTok to back that up. The
full-blown illustration.
Yeah. So okay. Check this out.
Conspiracy theorist.
She's good. She's great.
Rogan is a racist, sexist douchebag of the first order.
She's right. The wife of the best president that we have had in our lifetime.
Joe Rogan is a racist. Now I see why Republicans love him.
I've never voted right wing in my life.
He's a total right winger.
I want free college education.
Take it easy.
He never has any real left wingers on. He's constantly bringing on fake left wingers.
Hello, Bernie.
How are you, Joe?
The radical right loves and lives for Joe Rogan.
I like Tulsi and I like Bernie. That's it.
Oh, yeah?
Everybody else can eat shit.
Look at you, fucking...
Supported by white nationalists, supported by bot trolls, supported by Russians.
Joe Rogan, I don't think, has ever met a trans person until recently.
In fact, Eddie Izzard is one of my all-time favorite guests.
Oh, I love Izzard.
So he's really cultivating this narrative that trans women are indeed predators.
Joe Rogan's show is full of right-wing propaganda.
I think I'll probably vote for Bernie.
Joe Rogan is more of the bro portion of that conservative movement.
I don't give a fuck if they broke the law. You don't take parents and kids and separate them. You just fucking don't.
A chronic purveyor of right-wing hate.
I would like to spend more in taxes if they could fix inner-city communities and take these poor neighborhoods and throw a fuckload of them. Spend more, you fucking Republican piece of shit.
This is what Limbaugh used to say.
A chronic purveyor of right-wing lies.
87% of scientists said that human activity is driving global warming.
Rogan serves the same purpose as Rush Limbaugh.
I'm very pro-choice.
A modern-day Rush Limbaugh.
Women's rights, civil rights.
Conservative radio host Joe Rogan.
Gay rights, trans rights.
A far-right influencer.
I'm even universal healthcare.
Just a full-blown conservative right-winger.
Open racism for years. If you like Joe Rogan, I am going to assume you are racist. Joe Rogan very much benefits the neo-fascist alt-right.
I can't recommend your book, Race Matters, enough.
Conspiracy.
That's funny.
Joe Rogan, we got your back.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, I mean,
that was incredible.
Well, because you do a compilation of all the bad shit that you use to promote your little position, and then you finally get a little taste of like, oh, wait, he's also said stuff that... completely incongruent. You know what I mean? Like, that's such a... That's a nice little put together. I like the sarcasm and shit like
that. Well, because I feel the same way too. Like, I'm very left. I'm Democrat as fuck. But if you talk to me, or if you were to hear maybe some of the things I said on this podcast even, you would think that I'm right-wing.
It's hard for me to have a conversation with, like, a level-headed Democrat or a level-headed conservative. Mm-hmm. So it's like... I almost just want to completely avoid, like, that type of conversation altogether.
Yeah.
Just because I want to, because I'm not good with body language. Like, if I think you sound full of shit, I'm giving you this fucking look like I think you're full of shit. You know? And it doesn't matter, like, you know, what your opinion is. It just matters, like, how you present it. So if you sound like a fucking lunatic, no matter which way you fucking lean... Like, it's like, just shut the fuck up.
That's my big piece of advice for, like, a lot of evangelicals. It's like, yo, I'm not a bad guy. I'm on your side. I actually believe all the same crazy shit you do. But you're being fucking crazy. You're doing nothing for the cause, I promise you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we always talk about, like, fucking the worst thing about Tool and Christianity is Tool fans and Christians.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a funny little fucking analogy because it's, like, real. It's like, yeah. I mean, I think even Gandhi or the Dalai Lama has a similar thing where he's like, I sure enjoy Christ. It's his Christians that bother me. Something along those lines. And it's like, that's fucking brilliant. But
And for you to say that, that kind of like shows a lot about, like, you know, I mean, that's because you're very, I mean, would you consider, would you say that you're religious?
Would you consider yourself Christian?
Would I say I'm religious?
Religious, yeah. Like,
well, yeah, would you say, I think like religion's just like your expression towards your relationship with God, or your, you know, your relationship with your worldview. Is there any practices that you do to?
So are you religious?
Yeah, I read, I pray, I meditate. I do all the Christian shit. That's religious. We go to a Christian community. We go to a church every now and then. I read the Bible every single day. I study the Bible. Reading the Bible and studying it is two different things. Yeah. So when I say I read it and I study it, that's
like two, I've read the Bible.
So how do you?
That's two separate things.
So yes. How would you explain the difference between religious and spiritual?
I fucking actually hate that that is a differentiator that you hear in common conversation. Because when I hear people say that, because it's always some like new age, or like, to put it like in an umbrella like little situation, like it's always a chick who burns sage, who has a little fucking station in the corner of her room to put fruit and shit and wears crystals and all that. And they go, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And I was like, you put on a crystal every day, you pray to the universe, you meditate, you set out your fruit and your water, you burn your sage. You're super fucking religious. Like, in my mind, you know what I mean? I'm like, who are you
you're
kidding?
You're not spiritual.
You're not. Well, here's what I want to say when I'm being a dick.
What are you praying?
You're not creative. You're not artistic. Because that's what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to be a conventional. You don't want to have any part of, like, these legacy religions, these old guard situations. You want to be creative. You want to be unique. You want to find your own truth. But you're dreadfully religious, and nothing you're saying is anywhere remotely new. Like,
thank you.
I mean, well, that's any Orthodox Christian thinks the same sort of shit whenever they hear that, because that's a constant criticism. It's like, oh, not criticism, but that's a position that religious people are always like, stop it. And then to assume that if you're religious, you're not spiritual is absolutely fucking insane. Bullshit. It's like, not spiritual, bro. I fucking read a book. I read a library of books. Supposedly held together through time by the creator of the universe, you know what I mean? Inspired and preserved through the centuries. That takes a spirit, that takes a faith that compilation has happened properly.
Have you ever read into the opposite? Like, so you have your savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever read into, like, satanism? Like Satanism and...
Yeah, dude. Like, well, I mean, there's like bullshit Satanism that I feel like is like rock star Satanism, like Anton LaVey kind of like bullshit. And then there's like... fuck is his name? Like Crowley shit.
Aleister Crowley, yeah.
Aleister Crowley, and then there's like, and then I think, which is an offshoot of that kind of occultism is like where, I think there is like a branch of, I hate fucking using these words, but like Illuminati elites. Like I really do think there is a branch of elite people that have high positions of power that really do bang kids on islands, that they really do some fucking gnarly shit to the point of child sacrifice. I don't fucking know, but I'm telling you now, if they found video, if that fucking little laptop video of fucking Hillary Clinton clipping that girl, I mean, you've heard of all that shit.
Yeah.
The face off shit.
Was a fizzle rock or something? Yeah. Call something that like shit, that. Something yeah. like that. If that video's real, I'm not shocked at all. Does, you know what I mean? It's like, yo, that doesn't fucking make me feel weird at all. You see people that have had like some sort of ascension to some power, and if they don't curb their fucking like their animalistic things like lust, you know what I mean? Like that shit just grows. And if you have the power to cover tracks and do what you want, that propensity gets gnarlier and gnarlier. So instead of just getting, you know, regular fucking hookers, now you're getting fucking hookers that fucking burn you. Now you're getting hookers that are 14. Now you're getting hookers that you paid to be allowed to kill after. Do you know what I mean? Like, right, it gets fucking gnarly pretty quick. If you go into any of, like, the psychological literature about these kind of, like, these kind of people that pull off these sexual perversions, it's always, like, it's a long train of progression. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that there's a group of people... you pray to God, right? You believe that God gives you...
I do, though.
You believe God gives you your blessings, right? Like everything that's good in your life is because of God.
GOD.
Everything.
So do you think that people could pray to something to give them a materialistic thing that is an evil in this world that does not, that is incongruent with God, but they could pray to this?
I think the spiritual realm, the invisible realm, is fucking vast. I don't think God is the only entity available in the invisible realm to worship. That's why you get in the Old Testament that he wants the Israelites to not do any of that other shit with other gods. Don't worship other gods. So when you look at these nation gods and you look at this pantheon, I think those entities exist. When you look at devil worship, when you look into like that really gnarly occultism, like we're talking about Aleister Crowley real quick. When he would talk about where he would get his information from, he would talk about Lamb. And it was like this ascended master. And when he drew it, it looked like a gray alien. It had the big head. It had, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm saying all this to say you can definitely draw information, power. There's sexual mysticism. There's blood ritual shit. Like, there's all of these different things that are for fucking sure real. That's what I don't like as a Christian is so when this stuff comes up, Christians go, oh, that's all bullshit. It's like, that shit is fucking real, okay, man.
Do you think that, bringing up that in Alice Crowley, do you think that, okay, there's two things, actually. I really want to know. All right, is there a difference between, okay, they say the Holy Grail, right? To you, is the Holy Grail the spear of destiny, or is it like sort of like a weapon, like something that you can energize? That
the Holy Grail is supposedly supposedly the cup at the Last Supper.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be the Holy Grail, but or what power it's a would secret.
But you're drawing on all this Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Dan Brown kind of fuck. You're drawing on ahistorical fucking like novels.
Right. So, but the Nazis tried to gather all this stuff up.
You're talking
right?
about like Gnostic.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
occult understanding.
He's talking about, about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, Ark of the Covenant's a different thing.
Yeah. Gathering all this stuff, like, you know, the king's helmets and all these things, and the spirit of destiny that killed Jesus, so that you can have order, so that you say that you're on top.
Do you think, think that any of those actual materials can, like, bring power? Like, if there is a physical spear of destiny, if that thing can make a difference in your life,
Actually, yeah, that's a question. Yeah, do you think that can, like, gathering all this stuff?
No.
But then why would they start a World War II over it?
That's definitely World War II is about.
Is that what you think World War II is about?
Well, because
that's a side because he's trying to get his people. He's trying to propagate
Because if you look at Patton, Patton died.
Supreme race.
Because General Patton died 12 days after he conquered fucking the Nazis. When he got the Spirit of Destiny or whatever they call it, they say it's the Holy Grail. And all of a sudden, when that was gone, he died 12.
Think it's because he was already fucking old?
Just look at the math. I don't want to do the math and see where they went.
The only math I'm doing is his fucking age and health.
Okay, well, you're looking at things that they're telling you to look at. You're not looking at things on the
no,
side.
I'm doing that because that's the fucking logical thing to do.
Shit works.
But
I don't think of any of those movies like some fucking guy in the desert shoveling and then he hits something and then he picks it up and it's some sacred relic, and now that sacred relic's indwelled with some spiritual power that he can be a part of and participate in, and now he's got this, like, superpower, so to speak, because of this relic. I don't think any of that's a thing at fucking all.
But do you think gathering it will get you the... Because when you get that, you don't just get this... You don't just get, like, the energy from this object. You get all the knowledge that comes with it.
Wow. I don't think knowledge is actually passed.
Well, think
over
about
that
it. Think about if I had something from the ancient Egypt area, like before, like.
Hold on.
I had a relic from BC,
let's say I had a fucking dagger that Cleopatra had somebody killed with, right? Mm-hmm. You think that the story behind that dagger I automatically get because I touched it?
Not because you touched it, but because you have it. That means that you have ancient knowledge of certain
things. I just bought a fucking dagger because it looked cool.
I don't know, Brian.
But people don't
buy a lot of books. I have to read them all. I can't just put them next to the bed and be like, cool, now that I purchased fucking some shit about physics, I'm not going to wake up with a greater understanding of physics. You got to do the work, man. And that's the same thing I think about with like power and ethics. It's like there's a personal agency that you have to like wrangle in and discipline and work your way to that supreme order, the best good. And for me, that template comes obviously from a Judeo-Christian template. I mean, that's arguable, obviously, but that's just what I think.
Yeah, you have to actually do research. You can't just go and gather up shit like Hitler tried to do.
Yeah, what he was trying to do was provide fucking like an ancient fucking like platform where he can go, hey, this happened here at this time, which shows he's grabbing all these different things so he can promote the idea that there is a supreme race, and not only that there is, that he's part of it and running it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different... I don't think he was trying to do anything gnarly. I do believe that he drew information from the occult. Like, there's a famous thing that Braun fucking guy. Strowman. He was a rocket scientist. He was a straight-up Nazi rocket scientist. During Project Paperclip, they fucking... sanitized his record, and then he became like one of the godfathers at NASA.
Yeah.
He's an American fucking hero in the rocket world, but he came from fucking, because the rocket fucking team for Germany was like light years ahead of what the good guys were doing at that time, while, you know, the race to arms was happening for World War II. And when there's a famous little scene, I guess, where a little girl asked him how he figured out all this stuff, or somebody asked him, a reporter, and he like smiled and he pointed at the sky.
What?
Yeah. So I believe people draw fucking shit all the time, dude. When you look at like an Aleister Crowley, or you look at the Third Reich, and you look at some of the occult beliefs,
Crowley, theosophy,
and shit like that. Think about it. You're just talking about like a timeline about your man, the General Patton, dying a couple days away from the apparent finding of some relic, blah, 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 blah. You look at the timeline, the world history timeline from an alien perspective. If you grab like a Roswell timeline and you look at all these kind of supernatural things, all these occult things, all these explosions from all these different like fringe ideas all happening in the 40s right before or during Israel becomes a state, which to a lot of Christians is like the beginning of the stopwatch for the end times, because there has to be an Israel, there has to be a temple for a lot of Christian belief for the end of days to happen. And so if you're asking Europe about in 1930 about, hey, do you think the Jews will ever get a nation state again? They'd have laughed, because the whole fucking area is Palestinian. No, absolutely not. It took a fucking Holocaust and a world war to happen for all the nations to go, give them a state, give them a place of refuge so they can go somewhere and be safe. Wow. And so that crazy turn of history is like the stopwatch, because, okay, if God gave all these indicators of what the end times world will be like, and there hasn't been a state of Israel for this whole time, now there is. Now there can be a temple. Now there can be the people coming back. Like,
what's behind that?
Well, to me, it's the spiritual warfare I'm talking about. But it's so funny if you grab these other timelines, Roswell happens not too long after that. The theory of evolution starts getting pushed real
CIA in public comes school. Into real heavy.
Bro, everything gets real fucking gnarly after that, and it's all obliquely anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, anti-biblical. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there.
That's why I wanted you. Dude,
that shit is super funny, though.
You just answered my question, because that's it.
Hashtag bring back Mesopotamia.
Yes, that needs to be a hashtag.
Speaking of the passage of knowledge, we like to pass on our knowledge of hip-hop through the form of mixtapes. We've done such subjects as... what we did last time? Wu-Tang. We've done East Coast and West Coast. We've done Death Row. quite a few little fun ones. And we're teaching our nieces and nephews about the genre of hip-hop. And basically just by telling
them... You're taking a road trip.
Yeah.
And you got to put something on. What are you going to put on and why? And then we have a theme to it. Like you said, what would be the 10 Wu-Tang fucking records you would put on if you're trying to put your kid down? Or it first started with, if you're trying to keep teach your kid or what, an alien or something, right? Like if they're an alien showed up and they're like, what's this hip hop all about? Yeah. What are the 10 songs you'd
Oh yeah, Outkast was the first one, wasn't it?
I think that's when he wants to do.
Oh no, that's right.
He had I guess we grabbed two individual people and put them together, and not because I don't know. Why did you pick Redman and Method Man?
Because for Wu-Tang, I couldn't come up with 10 tracks. For me, the best way to teach a young person about Wu-Tang was just to give them 36 Chambers.
Yeah, I think that was my answer too.
But I don't know, like it just didn't sit right with me, but I didn't want to revisit it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something similar but a little different.
Yeah, there's a ton of kids who think Redman is like an official member of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've ran into that a bunch.
And he's on the Saga Continues.
Is he?
Yeah.
Quite a bit actually.
But this week we're doing...
Is it weird? Does he look like him at all?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
But this week we're doing Redman and Method Man tracks. Ah! The criteria being it could either be a solo Red, a solo Meth, or, of course, a Redman-Method Man track because they have done albums together.
So, I wish it's just a Redman. Oh!
So
Method Man's got to be.
I'll go first. Whoa. I actually worked on my list, and I was so happy to present it to Brian, and then Brian had to fucking skip out on that week, and I was like, fuck.
Sorry. You know, my mom had the flu, didn't want to pass it over to the kids, because, I mean, I didn't get the flu, but I just didn't want to pass it to the kids.
Cautious man.
Right. Well, we're glad Mama Cooney's feeling better.
Yeah, she's feeling better.
So, number one on my list, I have Redman with Uh-Huh from Malpractice.
Oh, good one.
I'm so glad.
Fuck yes.
I thought there was going to be a lot of fucking overlay with each other's stuff. So far, I don't have that. I'm
glad you mentioned that because that's what I wanted.
Good. Nice.
I actually went very, very topic with this one. This one I didn't dig as deep. And I'm glad that you're digging deep because this is the perfect time to because I went surface level with this one. Even though Redman's
Brian
one of
made
my,
a Brandon list.
All right.
And Brian could have went fucking way crazy with Redman.
Yeah, so but okay, keep going.
So number two on my list I got Method Man and Redman with Serial Killer from Blackout.
Yes, that's a good one.
It's such a fucking fun song.
It is a fun song.
Number three I got Meth and Red again. With 1212, also from That's Blackout.
Fun. 1212.
Yes.
Yep.
With the rap, the track. That whole record just whole reminds Blackout me of Geo, album. Man.
I was going to say that when it comes to GTA.
Every fucking walk time, around. Man.
Dude, Geo had the Blackout. He had the T.I. album before anybody knew who fucking T.I. was. Geo put everybody on fucking T.I.
That's funny, man.
Walk around with a little disc man's man.
What do you got?
So for number four, it's a little bit of a cheat, but as I explained to Brian, and I'll tell you. So number four, I got Method Man with Method Man off of Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers.
Because it was just Wu-Tang.
Because it was just Method Man.
Right. I actually do have that down, so I'm glad that made a sideways entrance into the criteria.
Yeah. Number five, I got Redman with The Goodness featuring Busta Rhymes.
Oh, fucking great.
I was going to put that. Dox the Name.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Dude, you're digging deep. Woo-hoo! Yes.
Number six, I got Method Man with The Show from The Show.
Oh, are you serious?
Nice.
What a good one. Hell yeah.
Number seven, Method Man again with Step by Step from Tikal 2000.
Okay.
I did have that one. That is one of my favorite Method Man songs.
Number eight, Redman with Yes, Yes, Y'all from Muddy Waters.
Got to get a Muddy Waters in. I picked a different one. I think mine's better. No big deal.
I'll tell you what. I wanted to say this when I was going to present my album, but I'll say it right now. I think Muddy Waters is the most underrated album.
It's a great piece of time. It's a fun hip hop album.
I think like that one, and then fucking the Sticky Fingers, the Kirk Jones.
That's the most. The most underrated hip hop record ever.
I think this one, and then the Master Ace one. I forget which because he has like three of them. All of them are underrated, but there's it was the one before the summer. Muddy Waters, very underrated.
Number nine, I got Method Man with Dirty Meth featuring Old Dirty Bastard.
Oh, I had that too.
Wait, which one?
Dirty Meth.
It was an old Dirty Bastard. It was on that, like that four, the sequel, four, the 421 or
the day
shit.
After.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I got that one. Yeah. Okay. That's
what, and number 10, I got Red Man with On Fire.
You also said Dirty Waters though.
Muddy Waters.
No.
Dirty Meth.
Dirty Meth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I got. Okay. I thought you.
Fucking true.
You're wearing headphones for a reason. Anyway, 10, Red Man, On Fire, Muddy Waters.
Oh, good one.
That's good. I'm happy with that.
Who next?
Nice. I'm going to go because Brian's is going to be fucking whack. And I'm so glad we didn't have a ton of overlap. Well, I started out with what I thought would be obvious because it's both of them on one. It's quick and it's great. Everybody wishes this song was 4 minutes and it's only like a minute 40. The Rockwiler. Remember that shit off?
Yeah. Dude, that's my first one.
Yeah.
That's my first
Rockwilder's one, too. Number one for me.
So that one and Dirty Meth.
Yeah.
Right. Dirty Meth is my seven.
The Rockwilder I had for number two, I went, I tried to go like pre, like Funk Doc with fucking, you know what I mean? Like that Muddy Waters. Then my favorite one off of that fucking, what is it called? Dare is a Dark Side?
Yes.
Something like that. It's like 95 or some shit. It's a, like all the songs were all pushed into one word.
Yeah.
It was called Who Did It Like That? Or who did it look like? Who Did It Look Like? That's the one. Damn, I forgot what it was called. But I love that
And dude, that's an old Method one. Fucking kills it on that shit.
That's a fucking Redman song.
That's not a song that you like sit there and just like bump just to go to a club or anything. That's some shit you put in your headphones, you're just like, all right, fuck yeah.
That's headphone rap to me where I'm just like, yo, I just want to hear this guy do this all day.
Yeah.
My Muddy Waters one, which I'm surprised Brian might have it on there, but it's the Smoke Buddha song.
Yep.
That's my favorite song on fucking Muddy Waters.
you gotta put Smoke Buddha on
there. And then I went a little older in my fucking Red Man criteria. Fucking is that I be dead. Remember that?
He had
a video. It was kind of popular. I like that. Then I started swinging towards the Method Man stuff, so I put METHOD.
Man.
Had to do it for that. And then one of my favorite ones, and it was pretty famous on the Tikal joint, was Bring the Pain.
Bring the Pain.
I debated it.
Bring the Pain is mine, too.
Bring the Pain, and then I
almost did that.
Well, I was going back and forth between Bring the Pain and Step by Step, and I was like, fuck it, I'll put them both.
I'm so glad you guys... Because
those are my two, Phil. I love those
songs. Man, I'm so glad you guys went more underground than me today.
I put Dirty Meth on there as well, like Dude did. And then I went like an older one.
If you guys have not listened to Dirty Meth, go listen to fucking Dirty Meth.
Yeah.
What?
That song is... Yeah, because we all have that on our list. That's like...
It's a great song. And that 421 album gets no
love. Dude, that 421?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Which is fucked up. When people say Meth ain't made an album good since...
Are you kidding me? Did you listen to 421?
Yeah. An old classic that never gets brought up, but it's so like, once you hear it again, it kind of brings you into a place that... You're all
I need.
That was such a good little fucking Meth song. And then I wanted to go...
Wait, you put that one on there?
That's number 9.
Yeah, that's 10 for me.
And then number 10, I put on a Meth and Red song with another guy that everybody loves. The Meth, Red, and Snoop song. What was it called? Weird Dogs or some shit like that. I always dug. I always liked when that thing happened, especially growing up during... I was a little kid for the East Coast, West Coast shit. So whenever I see like Snoop on the track with like an East Coast guy, I'm always like, like it always makes me happy. You know what I mean? Like it's a stupid little thing in my mind, but those are the 10.
I like that.
And I have to bring this song up because it's one of my favorite songs ever, but it's not a Method Man song. The Biggie song, the what with him and Biggie.
My God.
That's such
a good... I grab on my dick.
Dog, that's such good fucking shit.
I spit on your grave, grab my dick like Charles Dickens. Like.
That's such good Method Man rapping. Like, that's some classic style.
I rapped it like I was Biggie. I rapped it in Biggie voice.
He did the Meth part in fucking Biggie voice. Nah, that little Def Jam, because to me, Wu-Tang was like its own like thing, its own little planet, you know? Yeah. And then when I got into... I went backwards with some of my like Def Jam East Coast stuff because I loved Redman. The first song I ever heard might have been that fucking from Dare is Dramatic. Redman got me into, because he said names. He dropped names a lot and he was featured on a lot of stuff. And so I got to like hear about like EPMD. Like, a lot of people heard of EPMD way before fucking Redman, but I heard a Redman first and then got into Eric and all fucking...
Right, yeah.
And they're like, and then the boot camp click and all those fucking Ruck and Rock and all that shit. That's some classic East Coast 90s shit, dude. Shout out to Duck Down
Records, dude. Shout out to Duck Down and Buckshot.
Is it? It is Duck Down. Duck Down, right?
Buckshot runs Duck
Down. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Sean, all those guys were fucking amazing to me, man. Sean Price. Sean P. I didn't get into any of that by itself. It was all introduced.
Yeah.
I found like they did a great job of doing that stuff
back in the days, didn't they? You don't hear that anymore. Like, you can't find a
Now it seems so goddamn forced, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't follow a ton of popular music now, but it just seems like it's collaborations that the fucking executives thought would be a good idea.
You know, what I always thought seemed like very forced whenever they'd name drop somebody was The Game. Because he was always mentioning somebody in a song.
That's funny.
But it was always like fucking like weird, like, do your own shit. Like you're brand new. Do your own shit.
That's funny because I remember Jay-Z
used to get a lot of shit. He used to start a lot of verses with a lot of Biggie shit. Remember? There's a couple big songs where he started like the first two verses were always some Biggie shit.
Yeah, he had a cadence.
Yeah,
it wasn't just rhymes that he took. His cadence. He took a lot from Biggie.
Yeah, I learned. I got a lot. I got a great deal of East Coast insight because of me searching for Redman stuff. Yeah.
But the Game thing, that's funny you say that, because I always thought The Game got in The Game because he wrote other people's backs, rather than other people writing The Game's back. That's funny. Like, I always thought The Game, because he came out with one album, and then he came out with the DVD where he was like faking like he robbed 50 Cent's fucking palace or whatever. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah, though. It was funny. Like, he got his name off of 50's back, pretty much. So...
I mean, Game looks the fucking part, though. That guy like just looks fucking gnarly.
Dude, he could be in the WWE.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a fucking legit blood, you know, so.
Right.
I don't know anything about any of that. Ty used to clean up a lot of that stuff for me, because how we understood it through the pages of fucking Source and how he did running a studio in Long Beach, he was like, yeah. He would what was the group he was like, is for real out here, though, and you wouldn't think so, was... What was 50 Cent shit, like G-Unit shit?
Yeah. G-Unit.
There was a section of that running around who was like, yeah, some of those motherfuckers are kind of gnarly, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could legit vouch. I don't know 50, but I talked to people that 50's real. 50's not.
Get 50 on the phone.
50, right? 50's real. 50's
where you
real.
At, Curtis?
I wish I could, man.
I need to talk. I wish I could.
And that's another rest in peace to fucking...
People giving fucking 50 shit over looking hella pudgy at the Super Bowl halftime
show. Let me give you $50 million.
Yeah, that's funny.
Here, I'm going to give you $50 million. I'm going to check on you in 10 years and let me see if you're not fat as fuck. You fucking idiots. Shut up.
I saw an Instagram post with it. Because, when he came on the fucking Super Bowl halftime show, he was doing the upside down thing, like, in the club. And he looked like his head was just like...
Dude,
it looked pudgy as fuck.
Filling full of water. It looked
like he was doing steroids, but wasn't.
But like whoever did it had like some fat dude hanging down, and so like the caption was,
"Have you seen the bizarre 50, one?"
50's caption was, "Who did this?" So fucking funny.
Have you seen the one with Bizarre as 50 Cent? You haven't seen the meme? The meme where instead of 50 Cent, it was Bizarre hanging down there. Down.
That's fucking funny.
Rest in peace, Chaz. I want to rest in peace, Chaz. Chaz Williams with Black Hand.
All right, Brian, what's your list?
All right, so I got the Rock Wilder on the Blackout album, of course. Then I got the How High soundtrack. Very good. I got the song Part 2. Red Man, Red Man.
Better than The Wash.
The Wash, yeah. The Wash was The Wash was a great movie. Very underrated. I mean, God, Eminem is a fucking
psycho, legit, right? Yeah. Stan,
which is fucking funny.
Yeah.
And then I had Tonight's the Night on What the album? The Red Man is, boom.
That's fucking the one.
Love that one. And then I got to do Pick It Up, Pick It Up.
I love that fucking song. Pick It Up. I remember one time we were walking through the Silverado parking lot, and Brian, this used to happen to you a lot. Do you still find stuff a lot?
Not anymore.
Do you remember that era?
I'll find empty
where
shit.
You would find shit all the time.
Yes,
you
I
would,
do.
Dude, he would find like cash on the floor.
Yeah, all the
and
time.
And one time we were walking through the fucking Silverado parking lot. We're pretty young, dude. You know, you remember freshman that? Or silver sophomore year. It's got to yeah. be freshman. And we're walking through, and all of a sudden, I just see Brian doing like this goofy walk, and he's like, "Pick it up, pick it up." And I was like, "What are you doing?" And he looks over, and he goes, "I just found a bag of weed."
Yeah, where'd he go?
Starts singing the Redman song. If you found a bag of weed.
Yes.
Can you imagine a little fucking? Because think of what. See, yes. And see, when I think of Brian, I think of the memory, but he's Brian right now.
Right.
But during the time, how old are you in freshman? Were you 14?
14.
A little 14-year-old yeah. Brian in the middle of a parking lot dancing singing his ass off.
Pick it up.
Because I found a fucking bag of weed.
He found a little nickel bag.
Brian. Brian with fucking three hairs on his balls.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. I laugh so hard at that shit. That shit is so funny.
It was like, remember how like all like the older kids used to be like, smoke weed every day.
Yeah.
Ours was pick it up.
Couldn't be like them. That's so funny.
I'm so glad you remember that, because like, pick it up was like a big like that song to me, man. Like
you got to live it, bro. You got to live it for a couple minutes outside of school.
Yeah, and when I saw the bag of weed, my first thought was pick it up. Shit, and then I had Dope Man, which was on Mudface, which was the prequel. I heard he's coming out with Muddy Waters 2. He hasn't yet, but Mudface, I guess, was
the
prequel.
What the fuck has he been doing the last 20 fucking years?
Shit, dude, he's probably been trying.
Does he got
to,
like kids he, and shit.
He's probably been trying to fix his fucking doorbell
from the Cribs episode or whatever. That's funny. That's old.
Nah, he's probably just living it up with his big old cock having fucking. Remember that one story though where he was like, "Man, when I see Redman, I swear to God, the only thing I think is that dude got a big cock." It's like when you look at Tommy Lee, you're like,
"Is that the first thing you think?"
Yeah. I think Motley Crue, but okay.
but when you see Tommy Lee, you're like, "All right, that you already knew that dude got a big cock."
Well, who's Brandon Shaw? He's like, he's got that big dick energy.
Yeah. Some Redman guys got that. That's Redman.
I have heard a funny story about that. He like came out in his chonies and he had a fucking boner, and he was like wiggling it in front of one of like the cool fucking like one of the girl chicks that lived on set. Like I don't know, like just someone that he knew. So I guess under today's ideals is pretty inappropriate.
Yeah.
But it wasn't raw. It was still in there, and she didn't think it was real because it was so. It came out of the chonies so much, like the tent was so big. She thought it was like something fake.
It was fake.
And then she slapped it, and then her face was like, "Holy shit, wow. That was a real thing." And so, yeah, I've heard that. I think he told that story.
That's the story
thing.
I'm telling. That's funny. I think I shot a Redman for that. That was a good story, man. We got to dig that up and find that dude. We got to loop that. That's a good story. And then I had Dope Man is my number five on the Mud. I said Dope Man. And then I'll Be There to Kill.
Yeah.
Got that. Dirty Man, got that. Smoke Buddha.
Yeah.
Muddy Waters.
I'm surprised all three of us didn't get that one. That's a great
Smoke
Redman song.
Buddha. And then Bring the Pain to Cal, and then All I Need to Cal. Those are mine.
I mean, I'm not surprised. You know
so
what I mean?
So we put together a pretty good album. I mean,
I like that. If you take all the ones that didn't get doubled, tripled up, and just put that on a little set, I'll put that on the YouTube music, and when I'm in a fucking Meth and Red 100%. Man fucking mood, I'll throw that on.
Right. You want to listen to Meth and Red? Dude, here's your list.
A little hip hop in the morning is good for you. If you have like an office job and you want to like fucking just try to get a little boost, you know what I mean? Fucking throw something on. Oliver Tree just came.
It's kind of like, you know what? Fuck you, Spotify. I'm putting together my own algorithm. You want to follow me?
You know, I mean,
you
want
to know about
that.
Old school hip hop? Come to me.
Bro, I love that about YouTube. I'm sure all the fucking things have it, but you just put a thumbs up on it and they save everything you've ever thumbs up. Like that folder is the shit.
Yeah. That becomes a playlist.
Mixing that folder is my work playlist for sure.
Can you imagine like telling Eli go downstairs to pick up his, you know, go pick up your toys, boy. And then you take a peek over the banister and he's like, pick it up, pick it up.
That's funny. He might. No, I don't know. I'm trying to be better about him. He's Bobby had a much bigger like inkling towards the good. Like her nature leans more towards the light, and so I didn't mind putting on what might be considered like questionable media. You know what I mean? Like songs with some content. Or like, hey, your daughter's in the car. I'm like, she gets it. Right. I didn't. But yeah, I don't know if Eli's got the same kind of. You know what I mean? He has a little bit more.
He's
fucking
younger though.
Yeah, well, he's younger and he's a boy. There's different natures, obviously, but he seems like I don't want him to get riled up and think any of that horrible shit's cool. That's the last thing I want. Is that you see that with that's an easy thing with like kids too. It's like, listen, dude, kids start to think that horrible shit is cool, and that's where you got to cut it
off. Yes, yes. That's where I find
being rough is awesome. Being a bully is not. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a level to shit where it's like, hey, man, you're doing too much now. Like,
Eli's going to fucking start his morning every day fucking listening to D12's fight music.
he's going to go to school and fucking start fighting all the white kids.
He fucking loves that Lady Gaga
Dude's
song.
Dude's my uncle.
Dog, he'll be eating breakfast and you'll be like, what do I, you recognize a noise and you're like, what is happening? And he'll be eating fucking oatmeal. He'll be like, all day for months and months and months now.
It's been months.
When the fuck are you going to get over?
Learn a new song.
We're at the extreme fucking trampoline place and Queen came on and he lost his shit. That was cute.
Yeah.
A couple of the adults were like, ah, that's cool. And I was like, right? He's like, mama mia, mama. You know, a little tiny boy on a trampoline doing the fucking the Wayne's World episode. Fucking funny. Yeah.
Dude, Bobby's being, she's a little badass right now, bro.
B-O-B-B-I-E, Jane.
Yeah. She's killing it right now, huh?
Yeah, she's doing her acting class, dude. It's so funny. She went
so she stopped doing jujitsu.
Her MMA class, she stopped. Well, it got to a point where like the kids were like just taking her down, and she didn't seem like very competitive or overly concerned.
Was it girls or guys?
Well, either one. Just I do it by like a size thing. You know what I mean? Because the ages are not particular to size.
So you can have like an 8-year-old fighting with 10-year-olds just
because they're in the same level. Little era and shit. Yeah, right. The same little class, you know, age and skills level. And she was just like not. She used to fucking smoke some of the kids, and then she just stopped like
she
trying.
Just stopped
and then like getting takedowns was easy. Like people were just taking her down. Like she would just fall down for them.
She just gave up.
Yeah, I was like, listen, I can't. I can't have that. Like I want you to learn the stuff so you can defend yourself and have the. All you really need is the basics.
So she really didn't want to do MMA. She
was into it.
But now she found a different avenue.
She was
that she
killing
likes more.
Fucking dude. She was always destroying dance. Yeah. Everyone thought because I'm the dad that I like took her out of dance and put her in MMA because I'm like a dad who wants her to be Misha Tate or whatever the fuck. Like I loved her dancing. Her dancing was natural since the day she was born, bro. Some kids
rhythm.
Just have a nature, dude. And she fucking, like, when you would put on, like, a commercial with a certain kind of music when she was little.
She knows
she
music.
Would dance. And, like, she felt it. You would see it. It was, like, it was deeper than
dude,
a learned
go to my
thing.
Very first fucking post on my F.U. Cooney. Dude, she, firstly, she, when she was beatbox, like, dude, she know, like,
she's
she
fine.
Doesn't even, like, she doesn't need any type
bro,
of.
Bro,
like,
you want to see the cutest shit, dude? Her doing the Chris Hero song is still the best. Dude, we're on our way to, like, a show, and dude had the fucking Chris Hero song on the old, his indie one, the So Who's Your Hero? Chris Hero! And there's a part where he's like, he'll hit you with the slobber knocker. And he's like, it's a rap little song. And then the song goes off and Bobby's like,
I'll play it.
I'm a hero. Chris Hero. Yeah.
Oh, bro. Here, look at it. Just watch
it's
her,
the
bro.
Funniest fucking
people
shit.
Fucking not, that don't know Bobby or no
as
won't
as soon
give
as I open
shit,
Twitter, there's just fucking ass in my fucking face.
Bro, it was the cutest fucking thing. So, yeah, she was into music and fucking dance hardcore, and then she wanted to go into fucking MMA, and so we put her in there, and now she wasn't engaged that thick, and I can't have that. Look how cute. This is the cutest shit in
history. Get your headphones. You gotta listen.
Oh. Drag them over. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, dude. Come back up.
Dude, she's like fucking 2 years. years old.
Bro, it's the cutest fucking thing ever.
She taught herself to beatbox, bro.
Yeah, I know. Dude. Yeah, that's funny.
She's not even like a hip hop head. At like, she all. Doesn't even, like, you know she's what I'm saying? She can beatbox better than half these fucking the people that have been in hip hop for 15 years.
We're worried about her fucking leaving MMA because it was like, we didn't want her to like think that you can just quit on stuff. So we asked her, you know, first we gave her like a little period of time where we're like, hey, you know, we noticed you haven't been like trying that hard. Like, do you still want to do this? She's like, yeah, I like it. And it's active and it's this and it's social. So there's a bunch of other pluses besides the actual training.
Let me tell you something. I remember I hated baseball for so long, but like it took me 4 years to get the balls to tell my dad I quit.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because funny. Like, it's like, different for a boy too. I believe, like, I think
that
there's a weird pressure for a boy to, like, tell your dad, like, I don't want to do this anymore.
And oh, he's not like, me. I hated soccer. Before signing up for my fucking second season, I told my dad I didn't want to do it, and our fucking relationship was never the same.
That shit is hilarious. Nah, I mean.
Dude got butt kicked right into the
fucking dog. That shit. I mean, with there's, DMX. There's some fears with her leaving and jumping around. And like I said, I don't want her to get like this quitter idea that that's something that's allowed in the house. So first we presented the piano thing. We wanted her to get into an instrument. And then this acting class came along and we're like, do you want to switch to that? Because you haven't been trying any harder in MMA. And, you know, we asked you to do a couple of things that would show us that you're still interested. We didn't see any of those things happening. So now it wasn't so much, do you want to stop MMA? It's, what do you want to do now? Right. And then she picked the acting class. She That's got cool. in there. The teacher gave her fucking great notes. Real excited. She tried out for two parts, Cat in the Hat.
And she got two parts?
Well, she went for two parts, and then she didn't get it, and she was all bummed out. But the teacher was like, well, I gave you longer parts because you're really good at this. You know what I mean? Like, I like your characterization. Oh, I like how you vocalize. You really understand.
So she got bigger parts than what she tried out for.
You know, some kids are just like characters, man. Bobby, just, I don't know. Every parent thinks that their kid's made for the stage, but if you ever see Bobby like around
if you are,
people,
dude, Bobby,
you're like,
dude.
Yo, that kid's made for this shit. And she's actually memorizing it like a psycho. Yeah. That's the gnarly part.
Dude,
memorization
is a fucking dude, brain and fucking cool. Liz's little fucking like.
Her bullshit?
Yeah.
Dude. That'd be funny. Nah, man. Because she was stressing that. They gave her the new script, not the new script, but the script with her two parts, and it's plenty. And she was all bummed out. She didn't get the parts that she wanted, and she wasn't sure she was going to get all the parts that she got down. And so, you know, we do our little exercises with her. And, bro, like yesterday, I was like, do you know your stuff? And she's like, yeah, but she's like playing fucking Minecraft or something. So I'm like,
you don't
know.
Yeah,
you're lying. You just want to keep playing, bitch. So I was like, go grab it. And she's like, I know every word. And I was like,
and she
okay.
did. Tell
bro,
me she did.
She marched down there and, like, didn't even fuck up, like, a syllable of it. I was like, and this play isn't until, like, fucking April or some shit. I was like, bro.
Yeah. So she's just sitting up there, like, fucking
the
Einsteining
teacher, the
shit.
The teacher was like, I'm going to extend the parts. Like, we're thinking of making the parts bigger. I was like, good, because she's walking around town playing video games. Like, I got this locked in, right? Bro.
Dude, Bobby.
That ain't shit.
Right?
Hey.
Dude, it's so funny. How often does this happen with her, bro? We'll get in, like, I'll start getting on her about, like, multiplication things she struggles with or whenever there's, like, a word answer she has to give and there's three lines worth of space on the worksheet, she'll only do, like, a short little. She answers right. She's correct, but it's not a full answer. She's being lazy. And I'm like, yo, you need to start filling these lines. So every now and then I'll go in and start getting a little bit thicker on her. And then right when I'm really start to give her shit, she'll come home with, like, a student of the month.
Yeah.
Or, like, some fucking principal award. And I'm like, God damn it. Right when I want to start being like, you know, Bob, you're really bumming me out. You need to fucking pull your shit around. You know, you got to figure it out. What are you struggling with? How can we fix this?
And then I got a question. She
starts killing it. Fucking
this is a
idiot.
Little off topic, but, I mean, it goes with the Funnigo thing. I asked Liz this. So when I went today, it was Willow's birthday. She was only 2 years old. And Ryder, he's four. So he's the older brother of my niece, Willow, right? And he didn't enjoy it at all. He's 4 years old. He wanted everything to be about him. Is that normal? Like,
fuck yeah, that's normal, bro. Like there's adults that do that. You know, fuck a 4-year old boy. I know 40.
It's not about him.
That can't do that. Yeah.
And it was just like he wanted to take a nap the whole time. I mean, but he, you know, like, you
he's
know,
being
like,
a little bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, kids are the fucking best.
Sometimes motherfuckers is tired.
Like, my mom. And it was so bad.
Trying to call him out and shit.
Check this. It was so bad. We had to go to the store and get a present and put his name on it.
Oh, so you shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have done that. I mean, here, you know what, though? I know some families.
Beginning. No, it was the very beginning. It was when he was in that. We already knew that, right? Because
it was going to happen.
Because Julie told us that Ryder's already in a bad mood. So my mom went and bought something very early in the morning and then brought it.
So your mom came with it.
With
she
the
didn't
Ryder.
Leave the party. And then
he
and
opened
then
that right away.
It.
Still.
He opened up before any presents.
It's a little sketchy.
But he opened up before any presents got opened. Yeah. And he was happy for a second. But then as soon as that, he was gone.
If somebody calls me, like, if I'm headed to a fucking birthday party and it's like, by the way, Billy is acting up, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, today's Delilah's birthday, so fuck Billy.
Yeah.
You know, like, Billy can go and cry in the corner. Like,
there's some lessons to be learned about it, but I also know
it's actually
a lot
kinda
of...
like, shouldn't we have just ignored him and just let him not even pay attention?
That's what we would have done.
Just let him just fucking
be. Who knows
be?
What the better... Every individual responds different, so there's no blanket answer to any of this. Maybe for Ryder, the best thing for him to learn to react and be better next time, maybe it was bringing him a present.
But then the next...
For
you can't
my
do
kids,
that all the
I would
time,
have
though.
Never done that because I know that's setting a precedent. Yep. And they,
but
they,
see, my grandma did that, or his grandma did that.
Yeah.
My mom did that. So it wasn't you. It wasn't.
Oh,
like
I get
a parent,
it for
it
sure.
Grandma.
That's a grandma thing.
Okay, so as a parent, are you mad at grandma?
Yeah,
called grandma and told her to do it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But if like, but here I hear I keep wanting to say I know families that do that thing on purpose where if it's this girl's birthday, they tell their guest and bring a little something for blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Or, and Greg Laurie, he's a pastor. He's a pretty famous pastor. I was just talking to Micah. I don't really listen to a lot of, like, popular pastors or Sunday stage guys, but Greg Laurie's got, like, a mega church, and I've listened to a lot of his stuff, and I don't mind it. He says when he brings anything to his grandkids, he brings two. Like, he doesn't – no, not just two things, but it's the exact same thing. Gotcha. Like, when he gets, like, a doll for one of – it's the same fucking box because I don't want to hear shit. And he was like, that's actually worked wonders. You know what I mean?
Really?
And I was like, that actually makes a lot of sense. If you're, you know, for his situation, I don't know. Riley being shitty about it, like, Ryder, I mean, like, there's something to learn. See, I always think of any obstacles, like, what's the learning moment for this kid?
Yeah,
and how can we articulate that and create a landscape to make it what it is
exactly? Well, how do you do that
in order to like to not make that into like bad behavior? I think when it's Ryder's birthday, you have to bring something for Willow.
You'd have to right
and let him see it.
Yeah,
let him watch her have it.
That's a good idea.
Watch her open it.
Yes, yes. Let him know.
Like,
that
hold
she...
his head
and then
right. Not,
well,
yeah.
At least point it out to him. And
yeah,
be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey,
not yeah. Exactly.
I don't want to hear shit, dude.
Great fucking good. That's a great fucking idea.
And our kids are a little bit.
Good
there's
idea.
A there's a bigger difference in our kids. A bigger age difference in our kids.
I'm gonna get Willow. You know what? For Ryder's birthday next week or next week.
A Luchasaurus.
I'm gonna get Willow a present and then say and then for his birthday I'm gonna get Willow a present and then present it to. I'm gonna do that.
He's gonna be like, "What the fuck is
this?" And I'm gonna
be like,
"It's because remember Willow's birthday? Because
when you was being a little punk, we had to get you one. Remember?
Yeah.
See, I talk like that around the kids, which is I still don't know. I pray about it. No bullshit. Like, is the way is my vocabulary and mannerism? Because I want them to be like prone to. Like a mature, when I say that, people are like, you really think the way you talk is a mature level of talking? Not a mature level on like sophistication, but like it's adult, it's grown up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to walk into any room because I have like, I can have pretty heavy, like academic, scholarly kinds of talks with them, but I also want their casual conversation to be a bit blue collar.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be uncomfortable in any fucking room.
I think it prepares them. Like, it better prepares them now than later because, like...
Yeah, it's a primer, you know what I mean? It's a little, hey, this is... Hey, people talk like...
Because...
And I think it works out because I get so much shit for it.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind, I like, but I also keep doing it because I get active shit for it in the family, so the kids do see that it's not standard. Like, to Does me, that make sense?
Yeah, because to me, it's setting expectations for your kids. Like, with Eli, it's like, okay, this is what dad expects.
Mm.
As opposed to when he's like 11, and now it's just like, dad's a fucking dick.
Huh, that's funny.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
Because you talk to him
like a five-year-old, and it doesn't get through, and then you finally snap and start talking like a man to him.
Exactly.
Yeah. When he's 13, he's like, this is a monster, this is a tyrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he's heard the same monster tyrannical rants from me when he's 4, it ain't going to be any new soup to him when he's fucking 13.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I do think of that stuff. See, I don't think, like, I don't know, man. I think a lot of guys are like this, and we don't talk about it a certain way. It's hard to articulate a thing like this, but, like, we struggle with our faults, not in a very surface level about just the guilt of the fault itself, but about keeping it, having it around. Is the beef that it causes worth what I think is the ends going to justify the means sort of thing? You know, it's like, I don't think guys get a lot of opportunity to talk about how hard that part of manliness is. Does that make sense? Like,
dude,
that's very hard. It's like,
when are we going to start talking about manliness
shit? You don't know what it's like to be a woman when it comes to like the chemistry stuff and the hormones and the emotions and menstruate, all that kind of shit. And it's like, I get you, and you're right, and I sympathize with it. I'll never know what it's like, but we're in this thing together, so I'm going to high five you as much as I can. But just so you know, that arena of trouble and psychological turmoil, that's not exclusive to fucking women,
bro. No, it's not.
Right.
Guys carry that in such an early way.
And well, we never talk about that.
Well, that's a guy like Jordan Peterson's kind of like point when a lady gets on an interview with him and says, you know, this world is ran by men and it's oppressive towards women. He goes, most men, most jails and prisons are filled with men.
Yep.
Most suicides are men.
Men.
Most poor people are men.
Men.
Where are you seeing this fucking tyrannical, like, do you know what I mean? Like, let's be fair. And that's in the same vein of what I'm talking about, where it's like, there's so much existential grief in being a man because there is this, like, this anchored feeling of leadership, especially when you have a family. It's like every decision you make has to be a certain thing. You're trying to include all the different variables being people and their emotions and trying to keep that all intact while keep a trajectory for your goal, including, again, everybody else's baggage that's involved. It's fucking hard. And I think guys don't show how hard it is. Because it doesn't come out like blood, sweat, or tears.
Right.
It's not a physical manifestation. It's just you sitting there, and then when you're mean for it, hey, da 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 da, and you snap a little bit. It's like, well, oh, he's a dick. You don't know what the carnival is in that guy's fucking head.
We make fun of people like that. Like when we talk about it with each other, we make fun of each other.
That's horseshit. I hate that.
But that's me.
I actually don't do that. I talk about you, Mike. You guys all get. I have very, very like close buddies that I'm allowed. See,
and
I'm fortunate.
It's like some weird. It's some weird coping mechanism.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it's for sure.
But, like, you know, like, you'll get women saying, like, being a man is so easy. All you do is you sleep, you eat, you shit, you fart, you try and stick your dick in things. Being a man is easy, right? But at the same time, it's like, if you ask a woman, like, you seem a little down, are you okay? They'll go with a fucking laundry list of shit.
Right. Yeah.
You try and talk to a man and be like, you all right, man? I'm fine. I'm
good. Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned it before how I like to read I like to read letters. I like to read biographies a lot, but it's so much more to build your own biography off of the actual handwritten shit. And I'm lucky enough that one of my heroes, that C.S. Lewis guy, he has this crazy back and forth with a buddy of his for like 60-year fucking back and forth letters. And it's all collected. It's like a 3-volume collection. And the way they talk about each other, like, and you know, and like the
was,
good,
was
like,
he writing a man or his woman?
Is a dude, it was his best friend.
Always,
it was a guy writing another guy, and he was like, "Oh, and to my tender friend," like just some of the language was like shit that we'd be like, "It's hey, not you like fucking dude." Like,
how do you talk to your
like
best
you would
friend
get
like,
weird about? Right. Like we still say, "Hey, happy birthday, man! Have a good day," you know, and fuck yourself. And like we weird. Still have to write, and like I get jealous of these older and mind you, these are World War fucking veterans.
You know what's funny?
These aren't pussies, bro.
Right. Right.
These are
something.
Fucking killers, intellectual giants that are C.S. Lewis, dude. People are gonna talk about his literary works for the next fucking hundreds of these aren't pussy bitches, like I said, World War veterans, actual intelligent thinkers, and the way that he talked about his dear friend with my most tender goodbye, like,
you know what's crazy?
Why don't we talk like that no more? And the existential grief I'm talking about that men have right now that don't get it out, and it's a weird little situation that we can't get it out, that's our own goddamn fault, because we don't write letters like C.S. Lewis did to his homie, where we can talk that openly and emotionally. Yeah. And
can I tell you what I did?
It's so weird.
My best friend still that I talk to today, it's you, fucking Blow. Like, I remember hanging out in high school with me and Brandon. And remember back in the day when it was just straight mafia shit, and it was like, how you kiss cheek?
Yeah.
Kiss each other's cheeks, yeah. Right? The only people that I'm close with today are the people, when I would see them, I'd be so happy, and I would go, and I would kiss them on the cheek, and it's you, and then the people that would respond with, like, a kiss, and it would just be like, all right, I don't give a fuck. Like, so
that's funny.
It was you, Blow, Mike, and then there's very few people that I talk to
like
today.
The same people now.
But it's the same people that I would go out to and give mad love to, just be like, love you, kiss. Yeah.
I feel like kissing Mike on the cheek would be awkward because he's super fucking tall.
Because you got to reach for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's not like
it
a fun, easy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like, with Mike, I'd just hug. That's fine.
No, Mike hugs you. He don't let you go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, like you'll go in for the regular standard count, and then right when you're about to go, he'll give you an extra one to let you
know.
It's
like that handshake to break your wrist.
Yeah. Mike gives good hugs. He gives good, like, bro hugs. Like, he reminds you that you guys are, like, actual friends.
Mike,
do you know what I mean?
Hug.
Yeah. It just reminded me, like, that note of him writing his friend and just being so into it, you know? Like, we don't do that as men anymore. You know, and it's hard. It's hard to find somebody that you could do that with.
Right.
Brian. Yeah, no, I do feel bad for that. And for us to be the way that we have been together, it took a lot of time and, like, a bunch of tragedies. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, there came a lot of, like, you think of all the events, transformative events they call, and we did all of them, moving, transition, death, hallucinogenics. Like, I'm talking about, like, the scientific, peer-reviewed, evidence-based, what gives people transformation? What changes their cognitive fucking, you know what I mean? Like, what does those things? And that little laundry list right there, like, I've done with all of my, like, I've been face-to-face with death and mortality with these boys. I've been on the fucking moon with hallucinogenics, which causes, like, breakthrough, you know what I mean? Like, psychology-esque things that happen. Like, all these transformative things, experience events that can happen, those boys that you're talking about, like, I've done all that shit with them. That, right. I mean, those are the things that create those relationships.
And it's just weird that that's just who they are now. Like, they're a part of our life still.
Yeah. And I talk fucking pretty gnarly.
Nobody
with
else
him.
Is.
Probably Mikey the most. It's like any group. Like, whenever you see a group of boys, there's always like a five piece, but then, like, those two
there's
are closer
a
than the rest.
Other,
and then those two are close. You know what I mean? And then those two, like, the different combinations do different shit together. Groups of friends, or so community is so fucking important. We're finding that out now. All the videos and all the shit that I read about the meaning crisis and existential fucking crisis and all these different things that are happening with people nowadays, the spike in depression and suicides and all that kind of stuff, it's all harkening back to what, you know, it's funny because religious people are in the corner being like, we've been trying to tell you this shit, you bunch of fucking idiots. But, you know, every time you bring up the Bible, you get thrown out. But the bottom-up response, you know, the Bible is a revelation from the top down. It's getting instructions from the top down. But a lot of psychology and all this kind of stuff that's kind of coming up, it's bottom-up. You understand? You understand what I mean by the difference? Like, you got to follow, you go through the cognition of all this stuff where there's people, the bottom up stuff is the line of thought from old school, Bronze Age, pre-Bronze Age, shamanism, Neolithic shit, Bronze Age, fall of the Bronze Age, shamanism, flow state, metaphor. Then you get into like the Greek guy, you get into Socrates, and then you get into fucking Aristotle or Plato, then Aristotle, Antisthenes, Zeno, the Stoics, Epicureanism, Christianity, like you get into all this stuff. And so when you ride that line, that's like from the bottom up. I just think it's so peculiar that that same pedigree of thought creates the same system of living that's prescribed from the top down from the Bible. That's one of the reasons why I believe in Scripture, because it's like every breakthrough in cognitive science or psychotherapy, all these new different kinds of treatments that are showing great improvement in people's lives, every time they give a real quick breakdown, to me, I just go, oh, that's orthodox biblical Christianity advice. Do you know what I mean? So I just think it's fascinating that those two things meet. And but if you present it, if I presented this advice through Psalms, Proverbs, and the Old fucking Testament, no one would fucking listen.
No.
But if cognitive science and someone starts bringing up fucking Freudian shit, Carl Jung, and you, everyone's all eyes.
You know what you got to do?
Yeah.
You have to frame it and sell it at Target.
Bro. Amen. To that
we're gonna get out of here.
Time is it. We're in it.
Yeah, but first,
like 2 hours. Goddamn.
You know, going back on the whole fucking men being fucking vulnerable but still being men thing. I've known Brian a short amount of time, and I could say without a doubt that Brian, I love you.
I love you too, man. Seriously, dude. Hey, man. For real, that's real shit.
Don't cry, you fucking bitch.
He's all seltzered in. He's all seltzered out.
Family, for real.
Next week, though, we have a special guest lined up, so we hope you tune in.
The coolest thing Brian has ever done in his fucking life.
Brandon is so fucking stoked.
Bro, when he texted me and he showed me some of the shit, I was just like, what the fuck? Is this who you're talking about? Like, I couldn't. My mind was blown. Very excited. Very excited about what Brian got us lined up for next week.
Yeah, so definitely tune in next week as we will be talking to Tash.
Tash who?
Catastrophe from the motherfucking Alcoholics. The Liquid Crew.
How would you know him?
How would I know him?
From the
Alcoholics. Bro. It was like when you brought it up, a whole, I don't know, man. It's like people that know me right now, I can tell you about a couple of musicians that like shaped a couple of things. And it's gonna be sublime. It's gonna be atmosphere. You know what I mean? You frame your, and you forget about not the fall away ones, but the ones that just don't get caught up in story. And there was a time where like Sublime and the Alcoholics was all the fuck I had in my fucking CDs. Like that's all that I played for. Like maybe like it wasn't years and years, but it was just like a couple of summers. And I was like, and out of all of them, like to me, how did I say it to the fucking dude? I was like, Tash to me was like the Method Man of the fucking whole little crew. I was like, he was my favorite.
He was the West Coast.
He was the one where I was like, oh, if any of these guys are going to pull this off, it's going to be him.
And so then, we got Tash coming on next week. And he has
that. That's so, I still can't believe that shit. That's Tash? Crazy.
I don't know.
Well, Social media, Brian Cooney's craziness.
He has a good, he actually has something that he wants to tell us too. He has
little projects?
Yeah, he has projects.
He wants to tell us about. I never want to hear nothing until we fucking start doing it. So.
Tell us about them.
So tune in for that next week.
Woo.
And we hope you enjoyed today's topics of Red Man and Method Man. If you ever have suggestions, go ahead and email us, dude@fununcle.net. And we will catch you all next time. Peace.